Hello. Happy New Year. Everyone hear me?
Good.
Happy New Year, everyone. I hope you guys all had a great Christmas with your family, with your friends. Look, I'm really grateful to be here today. For those who don't know me, my name is Enrique, and I'll be bringing you the first message of the year 2025. Now, this time of year, if you're anything like me, is a time where it is peak optimism levels, okay? I am setting my vision for the year. I have my plans. I'm going to be more organized. I just spoke with some people saying that I'm going to sleep better. I'm going to sleep at the same time every night, wake up at the same time every day. It's optimistic, and I hope I can stick to it, but if you're anything like me, it is quite challenging. Now, what about for you? Is 2025 going to be a different year to 2024? Are there some changes that you need to make? Or are you just going to keep repeating the same old things? Will you see some change in your health? Will you see some change in your relationships? Will you see some change in your walk with God? If you were with us early last year, you might remember that we went through the book of Matthew in a teaching series called Follow Me, the call to discipleship. It was all about what it means to be a true disciple or a follower of Jesus, and about how we can learn to disciple other Christians, to grow deeper in faith together, and to see real heart transformation. To summarize the whole series, I chose the passage that we heard read out earlier today. It comes at the end of Jesus' very famous Sermon on the Mount. Okay. This is where Jesus preaches incredible truths about the kingdom of heaven. He teaches how this kingdom of heaven is an upside-down kind of kingdom. Unlike the kingdoms on earth that thrive on power and control, God's heavenly kingdom is one of humility, love, and selflessness. Jesus paints a beautiful picture of what living this way could look like. A world where you care for your neighbor, and your neighbor cares for you. A world where forgiveness and mercy are commonplace. A place where humility and selflessness reigns and leads to a life abounding in joy. Doesn't that sound great? Isn't that the kind of life that we all yearn for? Isn't that the kind of life that you want to strive for this year in 2025? So Jesus finishes his teaching about the kingdom of heaven, and he presents the people there with a choice. And it's a big choice. It's a choice that we all have to make at some point in our lives. Will you enter the kingdom, or will you turn your back on it? Will you follow the road to heaven, or the road to destruction? That's choice number one, friends. The two roads. Let's read again from Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus is painting a vivid picture of two roads here. You can enter one through a wide gate. There's plenty of room, it's very spacious. There's a lot of people there. Everyone is happy, they're content. They're just walking along this road together. But the big problem is they actually don't understand where it is they're headed. They're going along with the crowd, but what they don't realize, is that they're headed towards destruction. That's what Jesus says. Now, it's a terrifying, terrifying thought. But Jesus presents his preferred option. He asks us to enter through the narrow gate. Yes, it's smaller. The road itself is quite narrow. Maybe it's windy. You're sure to encounter more challenges along this road. But for the few people who choose this road and stick it through to the end, they find something incredible. Eternal life. The life in the heavenly kingdom that Jesus taught us about. It may be a harder, less popular road to take, but Jesus promises us that it's worth it. So I want to make a couple of observations here. First, I want you to imagine yourself standing at the fork in the road, and you see these two paths presented to you. One's wide, one's narrow. Now, at this point, you can't see the destination. All you can see are the crowds. The crowd on the wide side, and then the few trickle of people on the narrow. Now, if you're anything like me, if you're having to decide between these two options, you're probably going to choose a safe option, right? Choose the one with more people. Safety in numbers. We tend to do this in life, right? We tend to follow the crowds or go along with popular opinion. Now, I'm a lot like this, especially when it comes to things that I don't know a lot about, things like sport, right? If anyone ever asks me, oh, you know, what's your favorite football team? Who's your favorite tennis player? I have no idea. I just say the most popular guy, the guy who's winning the championship. For instance, Lionel Messi, okay? Never seen him play, don't really know much about him at all, but very popular, everyone knows him, everyone loves him, so he's apparently my favorite player now. I go along with the crowds, just like I'm sure you guys might do that too. Not in everything, but certainly in some aspects of life. When we see our friends at school, for the kids here, going down a certain path, drinking, partying, fooling around, it might be tempting to follow along because that's what everyone else is doing. When we see our peers at uni cutting corners, cheating with AI, we might be tempted to follow suit. Or when we see our co-workers laughing in the break room over a hot piece of gossip, we might want to jump in and join and have a laugh with them. They're doing it. Everyone's doing it. It's normal. It's not that big of a deal. That's what we tell ourselves. But listen, before you open that wide gate and before you join the crowds, think about where they're headed. Think about the destination. A life of sin, a life of disobedience to God, it might feel fun, or you might think it's exciting in the moment. It might be convenient. It might be what everyone else is doing, but I promise you, it's not the safe option. It's a life that leads to destruction, to separation from God for eternity. It's not worth it. Jesus wants you to make the unpopular choice. He wants you to choose the path of most resistance, to turn away from your sin, and instead to turn towards him in repentance. That means turning away from your sin and putting your trust in him, putting your faith in Jesus. Once you just make that decision, he will transform your heart. You will belong to Jesus. He will take you from death to life, from darkness to light. And your new life will be radically different, one full of faith, hope, and love, not evil. But it won't be easy. You know, we might cop some teasing because of this at school, or we might not get the same grades as our friends at uni who have cheated. We might feel excluded and looked down upon at work because we're different. That's okay. Be different. Christians, true disciples and followers of Jesus, are supposed to be different. We're not supposed to look like the rest of the world. We're not called to follow the crowds. If we truly belong to Jesus' upside-down kingdom, we will lead upside-down lives. If we truly belong to Jesus and his upside-down kingdom, we will lead upside-down lives and will follow him along the narrow path. The second observation I make when reading this passage is that Jesus doesn't provide us with a third option, right? You've got the wide road, you've got the narrow road, and that's it. There's no middle road. You can't walk along both roads at the same time. You can't even stand still and choose nothing, right? We all have this decision to make, and it's the most important decision that you will ever make. Are you going to choose a life of sin or a life of trusting in Jesus? Jesus says that we can't actually sit on the fence. It's not an option for us. In his very own words, he says, "Whoever is not with me is against me." And you might say to me, as some have in the past, "Come on, Enrique, I'm young. I want to have fun. I'll trust in Jesus when I'm older, when I settle down." If that's you, please hear me out. God understands that you're young. He understands that you want to have fun. But that's really not what the gospel is about. That's not what the good news of Jesus is about. It's not trusting in Jesus isn't something that you do later on in life when you're old, when you're settled down. It's about having a relationship with him now. It's about experiencing his love and his forgiveness now. It's about having your heart transformed, your desires transformed. As Jesus transforms your heart, you'll learn to love him more. You'll learn to love what he loves and hate what he hates. You'll realize the harm that drunkenness and porn can cause, and instead you'll start to pursue godliness. You'll hurt others less. You'll hurt yourselves less. You'll start to live with true hope and true purpose. This is the promise of the narrow road, friends. True joy and love with Jesus in this life and in heaven forever. You don't have to wait until you're older. You don't have to wait until you're settling down. You can start today. It's your decision. And it's a big decision to make, I'll be honest, all right? Jesus then presents us with a second decision. As you walk along the narrow road, will you surround yourself with true prophets or false prophets? In verse 15, he says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them." That last line is really important, friends. "Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them." You see, here Jesus is highlighting how important it is for us to choose our teachers wisely. What we call teachers or pastors, Jesus here is calling prophets. And he relates these prophets to trees. You see, you can either have a good tree that bears juicy, nutritious fruit, or a bad tree that does not. And the message is really quite simple, right? If you see a tree that is teeming with good fruit, then you can trust that at its roots, it is a good and healthy tree. Likewise, if you see a prophet who teaches truthfully from the Bible, practices what he preaches, and is a genuine blessing to all those around him, then you can know that he is a trustworthy prophet. But on the other hand, if you see a teacher whose ministry or personal life is marked by lies, malice, and sin, then you can tell that this is a false prophet. These are the kind of teachers that Jesus wants us to avoid. But he knows and he acknowledges that it's not always easy to recognize these prophets. After all, they look like gentle, friendly sheep. It's so easy to be deceived by someone's outward character, their outward personality. Haven't you ever trusted someone who seemed good on the outside? You know, they're pretty friendly, they're funny, popular, but as time goes on, you start to see their true colors. You start to realize it was all a facade and you probably never should have trusted them in the first place. Well, pastors, sadly, can be the same. They may present as good people. They might say all the right things and make you feel really good about yourselves. But we're actually called to dig deeper. We're called to examine their fruits. Are the messages that are being preached from the pulpit true to the Bible? Or have they twisted the words to suit their own agenda? The Bible says that it's a noble thing to check that what your pastor is telling you is true. Let's see what Acts says. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. That's what Jesus wants us to do, friends. That's what he wants his true disciples to do. Think critically. Make sure that what you're listening to is, in fact, in line with what Jesus teaches and what God shows us through the revelation of his word. Now, we also want to be examining the prophets or the pastors' character. In 1 Timothy 3, we find some traits that all overseers of the church must show. Now, the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not a lover of money. Now, that's a long list, and to be honest, there's actually a lot more than that that we see in the Bible. In summary, though, do the pastor's daily words and actions honor God? Are they striving to grow in faith and righteousness? Are they truly on the narrow road? Because if they're not, they might be pulling you in the wrong direction. They may be leading you further away from God rather than towards him. No pastor, no teacher, no Christian leader is above examination. Please be like the Bereans. Examine my words. Examine my character. Do the same for the pastors that we have here at CPE. Do the same for the pastors that you listen to online and the Christian authors that you read. Stay close to Jesus. He never lies. Stay close to him and his word, because he promises to protect you from these ferocious wolves. Surround yourself with truthful teachers who will encourage you, who will build you up, and lead you further along that narrow road that leads to life. So far, friends, Jesus has presented us two big choices. Will you go through the narrow gate or the wide gate? Will you surround yourself by true prophets or false prophets? Jesus gives us one final choice to make today. Will you be a true disciple or a false disciple? This choice is all about authenticity. Are you someone who acts in line with your values? Do you call yourself a Christian and actually live it out? Or are you a believer in name only? Let me read one of the scariest passages in all of Scripture. From verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Seriously, it's terrifying. Can you imagine? You go your entire life calling Jesus Lord, doing good things, maybe even performing miracles, like Jesus said. You grow old, you die, you face Jesus on Judgment Day, and just as you expect the gates of heaven to open for you, they're shut suddenly in your face. It's too late. There's no turning back. Jesus turns his back on you and he says, I never knew you. Friends, this is a horror that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. To be so terribly mistaken your entire life and then to be shut out from heaven for eternity. Jesus promises right there in this scripture that there will be people who fall into that category. There will be people who are mistaken about their salvation. It's a very serious and terrifying thing. But why? Why are these people mistaken? They called Jesus Lord. They did good works. Why can they not enter the kingdom of heaven? Let's look more closely and see what Jesus actually said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's the key. So that means that the people who are allowed entry into heaven will have done the will of God. They will have obeyed him out of respect and out of love. If you want to know what God commands of his people, read your Bibles. There's a lot there for you. But Jesus says all the commandments can be summed up by the following two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Ask yourselves, do you really live your lives like that? Do you really love God with all your heart more than you love yourself? Do you really treat those around you, even those closest to you, with kindness, patience, and grace? If you're not sure, look at the fruit that you produce. Jesus said, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Think about your words. Do you speak words that are true and pure? Do you speak words that build others up around you? Do you speak words out of love? If you do, that's because your heart is filled with the love of God. Not because you're an especially holy or righteous person or because you've done anything particularly right, but it's because God has transformed your heart. He has renewed your mind and he has given you his Holy Spirit to live in you, in your heart, to help you bear this good fruit. But on the other hand, if you examine your fruit, your words and your actions, and you find nothing but unrepentant sin, you find a life characterized by lies, by sexual immorality, by pride, you find a trail behind you of the people who you've hurt, you keep a list in your head of people who you hate and you will never forgive, and most damning of all, you find that you don't really care. Because these sins aren't that big of a deal. If that's the kind of fruit that you find in your life, a pattern of unrepentant sin, a contentment with living your life that way, separated from Jesus, then maybe it tells you something about the state of your heart. Maybe your heart hasn't been transformed the way that you thought it was. Maybe you don't have the relationship with Jesus that you thought you had. And maybe even though you call yourself Christian and you will occasionally do Christian things like come to church or pray, you'll find yourself among the group of those sad people who are told by Jesus, I never knew you. If we return to our main passage, friends, Jesus goes on and tells his followers to be wise and actually put his words into practice. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. Please, friends, evaluate yourselves. Check what kind of fruit you bear. Make sure the foundation of your lives is on rock and not sand. Make sure that you're taking Jesus' words seriously, that you're putting your faith and your trust in him, that you're seeing your heart being renewed and transformed. And out of that transformed heart, you're seeing good fruit. Don't be a hypocritical Christian. Believe me, there are enough of them already. Listen, if you feel the Holy Spirit convicting you right now and you're thinking to yourself, that sounds like me. I call myself a Christian, but the fruit that I bear in my life is bad. I want you to know there's still hope. Right? The fact that you're having that thought is a sign that God hasn't given up on you. He hasn't abandoned you. You're still loved by him, and there is still an offer of grace, an offer of forgiveness. Jesus is extending the choice, the narrow path or the wide path. If you choose the narrow path that leads to life, that means turning away from your sin. That means running to Jesus for forgiveness. And that means seeing your heart transformed. That's what Jesus wants for us, friends. That's something that you can access today. The best news is, if you've made that decision, if you follow Jesus down that narrow path, and you follow it to the end, and you bear good fruit in your life, and you're surrounded by good teachers, true prophets who build you up and encourage you along the way, when you reach the end, and you see Jesus on Judgment Day, he won't deny you. He won't turn his back on you. He'll have a smile on his face, and he'll have his arms outstretched, open wide for you, and he'll welcome you into that beautiful upside-down kingdom that he promised. That's the good news of grace. So friends, this is how Jesus ended his famous Sermon on the Mount. He presented the crowds with three big choices to make, and they're the same three choices that we must make. Will you walk along the narrow road or the wide road? Will you surround yourself with true teachers or false teachers? And will you be a true disciple or a hypocritical Christian? It's the start of the new year, friends. If you haven't yet taken that leap of faith from the wide road to the narrow road, don't delay. It's a perfect time to start fresh. It's a perfect time to have your heart and your lives transformed by Jesus. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for providing for us an escape from our sin. We thank you for offering us salvation through Jesus. Help us, Lord, to make good decisions this year. Help us to follow the narrow road, surround ourselves with truth, and live out our faith through our actions and words. Transform our hearts this year, Lord, so we may be true disciples of Jesus. Amen.